The fifth parak of Avos, first Mishnah. Ba'asara ma'amoros nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 statements, kavayochol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'atam ha'lomar, what is this coming to teach us? V'hala b'maymer echad yochol hibarois, the Baruch Hu could have created the world with one statement. But the point is that the wicked who destroy the world that was created in 10 ma'amaros will be punished for doing such a thing. And to give reward, a good reward to tzaddikim who keep the world going, and it's not just a world that was created with one ma'amar, the world created with 10 ma'amaros. So right away, just the idea of the 10 ma'amoros, Rabbeinu Yonah begins, Mibreishis ad v'yachulu kasuv tisha pa'amim v'yomer. It says 9 times in the days of creation, in Parashas Bereishis, v'yomer. Each of those is a mimer. Ubreishis, and the word Bereishis, mimer who is also a mimer. Shenemer, as it says, B'dvar Hashem Shemaim na'asu, with the word of Hashem, the Shemayim was made. She'i efshar she'nivu Shemayim v'aretz ela b'maimer. It's impossible that Shemayim v'aretz were created except with a maimer. So it says, Bereishis bara Elokim, es ha'shamayim v'es ha'aretz. That already is the first maimer. That's the first, as if it said v'yomer. And this is based on the pasuk in Tehillim. Shemayim v'aretz were created with a mimer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we've explained in the past that Shemayim and Aretz include the totality of the universe, the physical and spiritual. Shemayim is the spiritual world, Aretz is the physical world. Shemayim includes all the levels of Rakia. There's 7 Rakia. There's Gan Eden, there's Gehenim, there's Kisei HaKavod, there's angels. All these things are included in the realm of Shemayim, and Aretz is everything in the physical universe, which includes every galaxy and every star and every moon and planet and things that are on Earth all the way down to the depths of the sea. That's all part of Aretz, and all of this is created with the word of Hashem. 10 words. 10 vayomers. Matam aloymer, what do you need to know that for? What's the point of 10 vayomers? Valba maimer echad yachli veros, the whole thing could be done with one. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ratzaloymer ma'abolam deinu. What are you teaching me that we have to be taught and understand that the world was created with 10 ma'amaros? Elakadei lihiparam en resham, to the Mishnah answers, to punish the wicked who destroy the world with 10 ma'amaros, to show us and teach us, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ro'ah ha'rasham, how terrible the wicked are, Shema avdu b'ma'aseim ha'olam, that destroy with their deeds the world, which is a very great thing, was created with 10 ma'amaros, and they deserve to get punished. And finally, to give sachar tov, a good reward to the tzaddikim, who maintained the world that was created with 10 ma'amaros. And by doing what's right in the eyes of Hashem, Hayashar Be'nei Hashem, so they keep the world going. This is Rabbeinu Yonah's very brief explanation of the Mishnah. The Mishnayos here, in the beginning of the fifth parak, will give a series of tens. The generations from Adam to Noach, generations from Noach to Avram, the Nisyonos, Nisim, all tens. But there's one ten that is missing, a very obvious ten, and that is the Ten Commandments. The Aseres HaDibros doesn't say that there are 10 Dibros on the Luchos. That's not what the Mishnah is coming to show us at this point. But there are those who connect it to this Mishnah. Bin Asar Ma'amaros Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created with 10 Ma'amaros. The 10 Dibros of the Luchos, which encompass the totality of the Torah, right? There are 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros, for the 613 mitzvahs and the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach, or the 7 mitzvahs d'rabbanan, two different ways to look at it. Everything is in the Aseret HaDibros. The Ibn Shalom looked at the Torah, Histakel b'Yaraisa Bar Alma. He looks in the Torah and creates the world. Torah is the blueprint for the universe. So there's a relationship between the 10 Dibros and the 10 Mamoros. There's a connection there. There are 10 Luchos, 10 Mamoros for Bria Se'olam, and those two are basically inseparable. Now, the idea of the Mishnah that the Ribono Shel Olam didn't need 10 Dibros, in fact, I'm sorry, 10 Mamoros. In fact, when it comes to Matan Torah, the Chazal teach us that the Ribono Shel Olam first said all the Dibros for Bas Achas. And we can't hear it and we can't say it like that, but it first came all in one unit and then it was broken down into 10 individual. So there's the potential, the possibility for the whole world to be created also with one mimer. It doesn't need to have 10 individual mamaros. So what's the point of the 10 individual specific mamaros? So Mishnah says it's a greatness, it's a magnifier of the Bria, which in turn makes the deeds of the wicked worse for destroying the world and makes the deeds of the tzaddikim better for keeping the world going. The question is, what does it mean that the Rishoyim ma'abed es ha'olam? What does it mean the Rishoyim destroy the world? When someone does something bad, doesn't he destroy himself? When a person does a chet, so we learn that chet is damaging, chet is destructive, chet is toxic, and a person who did chet and now wants to do good and does tshuva has to be cleansed and healed from the chet because he's damaged himself, he's harmed himself. And if a person is negligent in mitzvahs, so Chafetz Chaim explains to us, based on other svarim, that there are 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs asay, and 365 lois asay, and they correspond to the limbs of the person and his gidin, his sinews. And if a person is deficient in a specific mitzvah, then he's deficient in that limb that corresponds to that mitzvah. And if he violates the lois asay, then he's going to be suffering in the areas of those gidin associated with those lois asayis. And ultimately, we may not notice it in this world, but when we come to the next world, there'll be people who'll be handicapped because they're lacking in certain mitzvahs that correspond to certain evarim. And the Chafetz Chaim goes on to say, in the body, there are many evarim. Some are absolutely necessary to survive, and some are not. And the same with mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that are necessary for our survival and some that are not. So Chilul Shabbos, or the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos, is like the heart or the lungs. You can't survive without that. Whereas something maybe like Shiluach HaKein might be an extremity, maybe a finger or something. You know, we don't know how they line up. But conceptually, some things are more essential for life to be sustained. And when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, there's also mitzvahs that are more central, the ones that carry Chiyuv Skila, Kares. These are much more serious and correspond to the organs that we cannot survive without. In any event, if someone does a chet, so he damages himself. Okay, he's ma'abed himself. But what does it mean, ma'abed es ha'olam? We're going to punish the Rishoyim shema'abdin es ha'olam shenevra basar ma'maros. The olam, how it ma'abed themselves. I thought this is a thing that they do to themselves. So you could perhaps expand on the idea of what damage the Rosh does with the concept that all Jews are related, we're all connected. We talk about Arvus, Kol Yisrael Ravim Zelazeh. Each one of us is responsible for each other. Achanavasma gives a mashal of a tree, and even if some branches are growing beautifully, if other branches are not, the entire tree as a whole is incomplete. The tree as a unit is not healthy. And he says, that's what Klal Yisrael is. Klal Yisrael could be compared to a tree, and we may have some strong branches, but then we have some weak branches, and some branches are knocked off, and it's a problem. And you can't say, well, what does my chet have to do with anyone else? What do you care? You know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. You should guide someone to do the right thing. So you go to tell them, you know, you shouldn't do that. And he's going to say, what's it your business? Leave me alone. It has nothing to do with you. So our understanding is, it does have to do with me. It is connected to me. It does affect me. It's not just you. This is me too. We're all connected in this. And the things that one yid does affects all yidden. By the way, if you give techacha to someone, I wouldn't recommend giving techacha by saying, don't do that because it's going to hurt me. Because it sounds kind of like self-interest involved there and selfish motivation. I've heard parents, they would tell me how they told their kid, don't dress in those clothes because it's not that sneeze and it makes me look bad. And my daughter doesn't listen to me. So of course she doesn't listen to you. Because you're not telling her why it's good for her to wear what's in his clothes. You're telling her why you're embarrassed if she doesn't. So if she doesn't care about your feelings, then why does she, you're not saying this is important for her, that what kind of shidduch you're going to get and what kind of reputation you want to give yourself. He didn't say that. He said, you give me a bad reputation. So for a lot of people, that's not a way to get to them to do something different. You have to show them how it's good for them. But anyway, if someone would ask, but what difference does it make to you? It does make a difference. Lamaisa, it does make a difference. We are all connected. We are all interrelated. So a rasha does something wrong. You could expand it that it's not personal, but it does have an impact on all Klal Yisrael. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, the Rishoyim are ma'abed ha'olam. They destroy the world. So the world is created tamar. So what does it mean? Does it mean someone who doesn't care about the environment? Someone who cuts down trees and doesn't care about Hashem's world and is destroying the world? The people who clear the rainforest? The people who drill for oil? The people who lead to the extinction of animals? Like what is people who do global warming? They have too many carbon emissions. That's ma'abed to oilam. Is that what it means? Like in a physical sense, they're destroying the world? I find it hard to believe the time means that. I find it hard to believe the time the Mishnah is describing a time when people would actually have the ability to alter the patterns of seasons and weather and everything else like that. It could be, but I just don't think that's what the Mishnah is referring to. I think what the Tanya is telling us is a Yisoid. Chaim Voloshin says it here on the Mishnah in Rechaim. He also says it in Nefesh HaChaim, a great Arichus. When the Ribono Shel Olam created the world, the Ribono Shel Olam created the world with many levels and many layers, if you will. We talk about different worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. In Ruchnius levels, there are three different, the Ruchnius worlds. We're down in the lowest level, the world of Asiya, the world of action. But there are higher worlds. And we talk about these worlds, where the Malachim are from and where Neshamas are from and stuff like that. And we learn a Chumash. Hayakov Avinu went to sleep and he had a chalom of a ladder and Malachim going up and down. And he woke up shocked and he said, this is the Shar HaShemayim. This is the gate to the heavens. I didn't know. He was by Har Abayis, Har Maria. And Rashi says that the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala is built over the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata, telling us that there's more than meets the eye. There's a Beis HaMikdash down here that was in the Har Abayis. There's another Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim that we don't see. And that's what Chaim Voloshin is telling us, that there are different layers and different worlds, and not all of it is apparent to the human eye. And Yaakov Avinu got a glimpse in his chalom, which is a nevuah. He had a nevuah in a chalom form. And he got a glimpse of that and was shook that he went to sleep in such a holy place. So there Rashi mentions it, and the Gemara talks about it as well, how there's a Mizbeach in Shemayim and there's Kabbalahs in Shemayim, you know, different than down here, but the concept is the same. And Reb Chaim Volozhin goes on to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in such a way that the actions that take place down in the Olam Asiya, in this world, have a direct effect on what goes on in the other worlds, the Ruchnius worlds. And when we talk about the Churban Beis HaMikdash that came about because of the sins of Klal Yisrael, so Chaim Volozhin says, the Beis HaMikdash in the higher world was already destroyed before the Beis HaMikdash on this world was destroyed. And ultimately, the Romans came and destroyed a shell. It was just stone and wood, precious metals. The Kedusha was gone already. The Gemara used the language of Kimcha Techina Tochen, they ground wheat that had already been put through the mill. It's already been ground. They didn't do anything, just regrind it. So, Rav Chaim Volozhin explains that when we do Chatoyim, we destroy more than we realize. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Shemayim, it was only a matter of time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on earth. And when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim, then the Beis HaMikdash on earth will come back. He also says a fascinating thing. Chaim Volozhin says that the ability to destroy the Beis HaMikdash in the spiritual sense is something only a Jew can do. This connection between what happens down here and what goes on in Shemayim is something that Yidden were given. And what we do and what we think and what we say has this effect on the world, the physical universe, and the spiritual universe. What non-Jews do does not affect the spiritual realm. And it may affect themselves, the way I started off with the question, if it's Rosh does something bad, what does it affect anyone else? For a non-Jew, Itaka affects no one but himself. It damages himself. Goyim have mitzvahs too. If they don't do their mitzvahs, if they do their averus, they'll suffer. They ruin it for themselves. If they do mitzvahs, they'll get schar for what they do. But to have an impact in the olam of Yetzira, Bria, Atzilus, impossible. A non-Jew cannot do that. So, Chaim Volozhin says it's a very scary thought, but ultimately, the destructive power that a Yid has is more powerful than the destructive power of the Roman army. Because the Romans could never destroy the Beis HaMikdash Lamaila. Only we can do that. And when we do, then it's only a matter of time until the Beis HaMikdash Lamaila gets destroyed as well. Once the Beis HaMikdash Lamaila is gone, so the Beis HaMikdash Lamaila is just an empty shell. It's a building. And they'll come and destroy it. So that's how Chaim Volozhin explains. And he says, of course, with mitzvahs, it's the same way. Our mitzvahs have amazing impact from one olam to the next olam. And ultimately, by the mitzvahs we do, we bring light to the world, we bring the Shechina to the world, we bring good to the universe. Again, this is in a trickle down to the ruchnius, back down to the physical, and how it has an impact on the universe. But when it comes to averus, it's a very scary prospect, how destructive a force this is. And I think that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world of 10 ma'amaros. And this universe, spiritual and physical, are intertwined and interconnected. Why 10? It could have been done with one. Lihi faramin reshoim shema abdin esa olam. Reshoim destroy the world. They destroy themselves. They affect the people around them. They affect Yidden globally. They affect the universe. They affect the spiritual universe. A universe, a world that was created, the Ten Ma'amaros, that's what they're doing. It's not limited to themselves. And to give schar to for the tzaddikim that keep the world going, what kind of world? A world of Ten Ma'amaros. Now, I think it's important to add one more note, and that is, this destructive power of the Rasha and this constructive power of the Tzaddik that affects the entire universe and all the physical, spiritual realms only applies to Yidden who are obligated in Torah and Mitzvahs. When a boy is not yet bar mitzvah and a girl is not yet bas mitzvah, if he or she does something wrong, it does not destroy worlds and universes and Beis HaMikdash Shel Ma'al and so on. And when they do a mitzvah, it doesn't affect the worlds either. A child who does a mitzvah improves himself or herself. A child who does an avera may be harming themselves. But it doesn't affect anyone else. It doesn't affect other Jews. It doesn't affect any other worlds. A boy turns bar mitzvah and a girl turns bas mitzvah. A tremendous transformation takes place. Now you're the mitzvah. Now they have mitzvahs to do, their obligations they have to keep. Their mitzvahs are far-reaching and their affairs are much more damaging. And that transformation occurs when they become gedolim. And if you look back historically, this transformation took place when Klai Yisrael were mekabel the Torah in Har Sinai. What Shavuos accomplished, the Yontif of Shavuos, Kabbalas HaTorah, was transforming a nation from Eina Mitzvah V'Oisa to Mitzvah V'Oisa. It's almost the equivalent of pre-bar mitzvah to post-bar mitzvah, pre-bas mitzvah to post-bas mitzvah. Until then, before the Torah was given, so the Avos kept the Torah, and the Shvatim kept the Torah. There are some exceptions here and there, but essentially they did what they could from the Torah because they knew it's beneficial. But it didn't help the world, it just helped themselves. And if they did something wrong, it was personally damaging, but it wasn't globally damaging. When Klai Yisrael accepted the Torah, and now they become mitzvah v'oisa, now they're obligated to turn mitzvahs, so now it takes on this new dimension, that all their actions are far-reaching and can sustain or destroy the Olam. There's a point that is made in the Gemara that the generations until Kabbalas HaTorah, do you remember how many generations that was? From Adam to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we know it's 10 to Noach is the next Mishnah, 10 from Noach to Avram. So that's 20. Then you have Yitzchak and Yankov, Levi, Kahas, Amram, Moshe. 26? Supposed to be 26 generations. 26 generations. 26 generations from creation until Kabbalas HaTorah. And the Gemara says that for those 26 generations, the Ribbono Shel Olam sustained the world. It's a chesed. It's a chesed. The Ribbono Shel Olam sustained the world b'chesed. Because there was no mitzvah v'yaisa. There is no one whose actions will be self-sustaining. There's no one whose mitzvahs would keep the world going. And conversely, no one whose veras would be destructive like that either. By the way, in this context, it makes you rethink the story of the Mabul and Sodom. That means they were so bad that they all had to be destroyed. The universe wasn't destroyed, but they had to be destroyed. They had to be destroyed. It was on the personal level, that destruction. In any event, the Ribbono Shel Olam sustained the world b'chesed until Kabbalas HaTorah. And this is the 26 psukim of what we call Halel HaGadol, where we say Hod Hashem Kito, we say we start with Hod Hashem Kito Kino Chasdo, and there's 26 Kilo Chasdois. In that capital, there's 26 Kilo Olam Chasdois. So the Gemara says, corresponding to the Doris, that the Ribbono Shel Olam kept the world going b'chesed. No one was keeping the world going by their maisim. It was b'chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by Matan Torah, but Matan Torah, that changed, that now Klal Yisrael became the stewards of the universe, so to speak, by their actions to keep the world going. And Chas V'Shalom, if they do the wrong things to make destruction in the universe, physical and spiritual. Rav Huna Zichron Vorcha asks a question about the 26 Deiris beforehand. You would think that Kabbalah Satera would make things better. It's like a higher level. Now the Klaius was Makabal the Torah than before. So how do you explain that until then Hashem did Chesed? And after that Hashem won't do Chesed? Hashem kept the world going for 26 days with his Chesed, Kilam Chasdai. And now because of Makabal the Torah, he takes his Chesed away from us? No more Chesed anymore? How do you understand that? Logic would tell us that after Kabbalah's Torah, we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way I recall, Rav Huna Zichron Vorcha answered with a mashal that makes it very clear. You have a person who is out of work. He's unemployed. So you want to help him. So you give him money. And every month you give him a check. It's a tremendous chesed. He's unemployed, and you're helping him out. And it's not like he's doing anything for you. It's not like he earns this money that you owe it to him. You, out of pure kindness, you're out of work, you need some money, here's some money. And every month, without fail, you give him. It's tremendous chesed. And what would be if the same person said, you know, you're unemployed, let me give you a job in my company. I'll make you a manager of this department. You're going to be responsible for 20 other people, and there's deadlines, and you got to make sure things work out okay, and if it does, you know, maybe get a bonus, and if things don't, you're going to get in trouble. Which is the bigger chesed? Giving him a check every month or giving him a job? Giving him a job. That's the bigger chesed. So we kind of get this thing in our head, Hashem is doing chesed with the Briah for 26 Deiris. Why would he stop? The answer is, for the 26 Deiris, till Klal Yisrael got the Torah, Hashem is giving us a handout. The Briah, the universe, is getting a handout every month. Ki le'ol chasda, Hashem's keeping the goal. But they didn't deserve it, they weren't earning it. It's a bigger chesed to give Klal Yisrael the responsibility. Okay, Klal Yisrael, you are going to be the Am Segula, the Am Nivcher. Your job, I'm giving you a responsibility. You have a job, and now your Maisim will keep the world going. But if you mess up, it's going to hurt the world. Don't mess up. So it's not a handout. It's true, it's not a handout. But it's really, it's a bigger level of chesed. It's a higher level of chesed. So that was Kabbalah Satur. Kabbalah Satur and Shavuos was a new relationship where the Ibn Hashem hands over, so to speak, to Klal Yisrael the ability and the charge to maintain the universe through their Maisim and the consequences if they mess up. I think this is all in this Mishnah. Basar Ma'amoros Nivra Ha'olam Ma'al Talmud Leimer. It could have been created with one Maimer. Lehi Farah Min Rasham Shema Abdin Esa Olam. Literally, Mishoyim who sin destroy more than they can imagine a universe that was created in 10 ma'amaros, and to give schar Torah for the tzaddikim that keep the world going, that was created in 10 ma'amaros. And again, this all occurred on Matan Torah with the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros corresponding to the 10 ma'amaros, by accepting the Torah and the 10 Dibros, now these 10 ma'amaros are in your hands, your responsibility, your ability to make it thrive and grow, your ability to make it wither and decay. And that's to this day. That is our responsibility to understand how significant our actions are. A person should never think, what difference does it make? Who am I? I'm insignificant. My actions don't make a difference. It's not true. Your actions make a difference way beyond what any one of us could imagine. And ultimately, after 120 years, we'll get either the zechar that we deserve for keeping the world going, or chas v'sholom, getting punished for not doing what we're supposed to do and hurting the bria overall.